بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Firstly, I'll just begin by an advice. I think it's better that we start straight after the Salah, so we can have, for example, Salat al-Sunnah, you can leave it for the house. When you get to the house, you can pray it. Or after we finish the lesson, inshallah, then you're able to pray it. When we had the lesson after Maghrib, we used to pray the Sunnah, because obviously we're going to go all the way to Isha, so you might miss the Sunnah. But because this is after Isha, so you have time to pray it. So inshallah, we'll begin straight after the Salah. Today's lesson will be short, it won't be long. I'm just going to finish Surah Al-Tariq with you, inshallah. We've got about 3 to 4 ayat left. And that's because I didn't want to begin with Surah Al-A'la, because Surah Al-A'la now, as I told you, it's the second half of Jaza Amma. And this second half, it's got a whole different shift and a whole different angle to it, which just we need any time to explain it, inshallah. So we're going to leave that for 2 week time from now, 2 weeks time. So this is the last lesson I give today. Next week and the week after, Sheikh Muhammad Dua, for those that don't know him, is a graduate from Medina, and his specialized field is in Hadith. He'll come, inshallah ta'ala, for the next 2 weeks, Saturday after Isha, and he will give you the lesson on introduction to the Sunnah. An introduction to the Sunnah, right? So, we're doing Qur'an here, alhamdulillah, you've become familiar with the style and the techniques of the Qur'an and how Allah Azza wa Jal words things and so on. For you need to now have an insight and a deeper look into the Sunnah. فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ he comes and he explains in two lessons, he'll give you just a nice brief look into the Sunnah, and hopefully, inshallah, we can bring him during the week to start something with you, bi-ithnillah ta'ala. Tayyib. That's for what concerns the attendance and so on. Tayyib. Alright, so we continue our lesson after Isha. Is it all like that ID? Who doesn't like after Isha and wants after Maghrib? Because, well, I prefer after Maghrib.
After Maghrib. Because younger people can come.
But the problem is, Maghrib is going to go all the way back till it gets to about 5 o'clock. It's going to be an issue. So, who wants or prefers after Isha? Let me just see. Who prefers? Alright. Khalas. Okay, so inshallah, we'll just probably leave it at after Isha. And if, within weeks, if you decide to change it, then I have no problem, inshallah. Tayyib. So, last week we explained إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ, which was the response of the oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken at the end of this surah. Allah took an oath by as-sama'i dhat al-raj', basically by rain. And He called it raj' because it cycles, it returns, it rains and it comes back. وَالْأَرْضِ ذَاتِ الصَّدَعِ, and He took an oath by the earth as it splits as well, because it splits for the crop to come out and for the plant to come out. And then the response was, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. Verily, this is a decisive, no doubt about it, this is a decisive, conclusive word. In other words, it's referring to the Qur'an. And we drew the link and the relationship and the parallel between rain and a plant and crops coming out of the earth. And what's all that got to do with the Qur'an? We said because the rain revives and gives life to the dead land. And wahi, which also is revelation that comes from above, gives life and revives the dead heart. Right? This was already founded last week. So then Allah Azza wa Jal, He continues. And He says, He just doesn't say إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ فَصْلٌ. He gives us one more describing this Qur'an. He says, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. It is not at all in any way, shape or form a hazl. And you know, there's a very strong negation in this ayah. Because a ma coupled with a ba in the Arabic language gives a very, very strong negation. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَمَا هُوَ بِ بِالْهَزْ. These two, when you put them together, it creates the most powerful ways of negating something, of saying no to something. Allah Azza wa Jalla could have said, وَمَا هُوَ هَزْلٌ. Oh, laysa hazla, for example. You could have said many ways. But the ma with the ba, absolutely not at all, in any shape or way or form, this Qur'an is a hazl. So what is hazl? Hazl refers, and it means in the Arabic language, someone that is skinny or someone that's weak. And as a result, he's not able to do any work. So basically, he's someone that's useless. So for example, you say, huwa rajulun mahzul. It means you're saying that this person is so weak, he's not able to do any work, therefore he's useless. So then we get nothing good out of it. Nothing, no benefit is produced from this person. That's rajulun mahzul. But when you say qawlun hazl means a speech that's weak, that is useless, that has no benefit to it. You know, يعني قولٌ هزل could mean it's something, a piece of information, some sort of speech that might entertain the people and it might keep them laughing and keep them addicted. For example, movies or comic books or comedy shows. These are things that keep people entertained and keeps people addicted. But it produces no benefit. All of that is qawlun hazl. Because at the end of the day, you just had a good time, you read this book, you heard a story, all good, and that's it. Nothing came out of it. So it produced no benefit, no good. And you've been in gatherings like this. How many gatherings have you attended where someone speaks something, the other speaks something, and you just have a nice, good laugh? And there's nothing wrong with that. But all this is qawl hazl. It is talk and words and conversation and stories that have no benefit to them whatsoever. Unless they're Islamic related and they're Quranic related, then what is Allah saying? وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلِ. That this Quran, absolutely, not at all, in any way, shape or form, it is useless speech. Absolutely, it's never. And it has never been a useless speech. A speech where it's casual, Allah, let's read something, we get it, we understand, well, it was entertaining maybe, it was awesome, and then you leave and nothing changes. The Quran is not like this. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying that the Quran, every single word of it, every ayah in it, offers guidance to me and you. And it offers a way of life. Every ayah shapes the way you live. And every ayah has a guidance for you in how to live for years to come. And you know what's interesting in this ayah and towards the end of the surah is we already can see a connection between the ending of the surah and the beginning of the surah. The ending of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking to us about the Quran. And He's saying to us, it's not hazl. It is not a useless speech. It's speech that changes you. At the beginning of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned something about the stars. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالطَّارِقِ. The Tariq is a star because he said النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ, the brilliant star. And you know, one of the benefits of the star is what? A guidance for the traveler. You're traveling in the night in the desert, and there's in the desert back in the Arab times, there's no street lights, there's no GPS, there's nothing. You need to travel and you need to solely and fully depend on the stars to get you to your destination. And so similarly, how does the Qur'an relate to stars? You know, because you find on multiple occasions in the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He always groups these two together. Stars and Qur'an, always the same idea comes about. For example, Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Qur'an, you know, Ash-Shamsu wal-Qamaru bi-Husban, then He says at the end, Wal-Najmu wal-Shajaru yasjudan. That's one. Another one, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, in Surah Yusuf, Alif Lam Ra, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ. الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينَ, that's Qur'an. Two ayat later He says, إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا. Again, there's a mention of stars. This surah began with النَّجْمُ الثَّاقِبِ, star, and it ended with the Qur'an. So there's always this parallel and this relation between the Qur'an and the stars. You see, the stars, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us of three benefits for them. One is that it's a guidance for the traveler. The second, it's a decoration for the sky. And the third benefit for the stars is that it's a shooting stone or rather a shooting star against the devils. The Quran exactly has these three same benefits. The first is that it is a guidance. This is what being taught. It's a guidance for us. The second is that it's a decoration. And the Quran decorates the heart, decorates the mouth, the tongue when you recite Quran, and even take it literally. People even decorate their houses with ayat of the Quran. So you put them up on the ceiling, just like a star is up in the ceiling of the earth. So that's how we do with the Quran as well. This is taking it on a literal end. And the stars are a shooting stone or a shooting star against the devils. And the Quran, the same thing. What is it a shooting star to? To the misconceptions and the doubts you have about Islam and about Quran itself. Some people come and say, I have an issue. I don't sort of get this issue of Qadr. How does Allah know everything and how does this work? And He's decreed everything for us. And He knows our decree and we can do. So you get sort of confused. You might have a misconception. So what's the Quran? He says it's a shooting star against this misconception. One ayah in the Quran will make everything clear. Right? So it gets rid of this doubt and this misconception. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزَلْ. In other words, it is of guidance. This Quran is of guidance. It's not of useless speech. And there's the connection we see. The beginning of the surah began with the stars and it ends with the Quran. And the Quran, every ayah is a guidance. Just like the star is a guidance for the traveler at night to get to his destination, then we too are in darkness. We're all in darkness. That's how we were sent to this earth. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-dhulumat ila an-nur. He brings them out from the shades of darkness. In other words, you're in darkness to the light. How? Through the prophets that He sends, through the Quran. And then we're in darkness. And we're on a travel as well. You've heard the idea that we are on travel in this life. Kun fi dunya ghareeb aw aabiru sabeel. Be in this life as a stranger or as a traveler. And then every traveler has a destination to get to. You don't just walk around, you need to get somewhere if you travel. So if you put that scene that we're in this life in darkness and on a journey and we have a destination and our destination is to get to the pleasure of Allah and to the mercy of Allah and to the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal, then what's missing is stars. How do we get there? So every ayah in the Quran is a star. That's the parallel between the two. And you see, unfortunately, what people have turned the Quran into, a hazard. That's what people have turned it into, an entertainment. You know, reading Quran has become an entertainment. Listening to the Quran has become an entertainment. You know, people sit down, listen, mashallah, there was a nice recitation. Or, you know, send clips around, listen to this beautiful recitation. That's all good. But if you've missed the bigger point, which is, how did this ayah offer you guidance? And how did it offer you a better way of life? If that's missing, then it's useless to send it around. You understand? This is how the Quran is being addressed in this particular ayah. وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزَلْ. It's not an entertainment. Not at all an entertainment or a useless speech. You hear one ayah, it's supposed to change you forever. Forever. That's what the Quran is. Then, and also this ayah is also a threat to the disbelievers. This ayah is threatening the disbelievers. That Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, this Quran is a decisive word and it's not useless speech. In other words, they're making fun when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites about the Day of Judgment and about the accountability. And in this surah we read, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ. On the day all the secrets will be exposed. So how is this ayah a threat to the disbeliever? Allah is warning them and telling them, look, this word, 100% it is going to come exactly what I say. Accountability, I said, mentioned in this Quran accountability, then don't make fun of it because it's not, it's for sure it's coming. So it's like a threat against them in where Allah Azza wa Jalla is confirming to them that every ayah in this Quran is reality and it will happen. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. There is absolutely no doubt that they yakiduna kayda. They are plotting and they're planning. And this is that he's speaking about the kuffar. Because at the end he says, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Seeing that for sure the kuffar are plotting and planning. And he says at the beginning, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. And إِنَّهُمْ, we keep saying this is to create certainty. Be sure. Don't have any doubt whatsoever. Even though the Prophet ﷺ and the believers might not know of the plans of the kuffar, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by him saying innahum, it's like he's making it for sure and certain to the messenger that you might not know what their plans against you are, but for sure know there's something. And they're planning against you. And yakidun is in the present. It's a present tense. So it's implying continuity. So they're always plotting and planning against you. And they will always plot and plan against your followers, and up until this day. So this is yakiduna kayda. It's present tense. It implies that this plotting and planning from the kuffar to eliminate Islam, to destroy the believers, is a continual thing that'll keep happening. And Allah will respond to this. But let me just finish this ayah. So if you look into the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, back in the days, in the first days of Mecca, you know, the believers were tortured and they were punished. And this is all a plan to get rid of Islam. And they were forced to migrate to Al-Habasha twice because of the suffering and the torture and the plotting and planning against them by Kuffar Quraysh. And then they migrated to Medina and they left everything behind. They only took with them their deen. They only took religion with them. And the greatest and the biggest plot that has ever been on Islam is the planning and plotting of executing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's the biggest plan. Because you get rid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there's nothing left. And that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he himself said this when he was in the war of Badr. He said when he made dua to Allah, that if I'm destroyed, if we all get destroyed today, then you will never be worshipped after today. So it was critical time at that time. It's the beginning of Islam. And still there's no military, there's no power, there's nothing. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying this is their plans. إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. They continually plan against you and against this deen and against the followers. And one of the greatest plots was this, to get rid of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, during the migration to Medina, the leaders of Quraysh, listen to this, this is how it happened, this is how they plotted to get rid of him. During the time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's it, he had received the revelation, go, it's time to get out of Mecca and go to Medina. Move. And so, Kuffar Quraysh, they all joined, all the leaders, they gathered together, and they discussed this issue. You know, how are we going to get rid of him? What are we going to do? We need to get rid of him. So every time someone came with an opinion or with an idea, they'd say, no, that doesn't work. It doesn't sound good. What about if this happened? It's not working. Until, and this is mentioned in the hadith, until a devil, in the form of a man comes in and he says, I've got a hectic plan for you. You know what you should do? This is a devil. He says, get one from every tribe, so that's 10 people from every tribe of you, and give everyone a sword, and walk in, and all of you kill the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now if you do this, when he dies, Banu Hashim are not going to come and kill you, because they can't kill everyone. If it's one person, maybe they'll grab him, kill him. But if every tribe has a share of the blood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's difficult. What are they going to, Banu Hashim by themselves, they can't possibly go and kill everyone. So the maximum they'll do is they'll ask for blood money, which is all right, you can give them blood money, there's no problem. So this was their plan until they agreed and they accepted this plan. And this is what happened. 10 of them come out with their sword, waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave his house. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he leaves the house and they don't see him. And he goes around and he places dirt. He's on top of it, they don't see him. He's got time to get dirt and put it on everyone's head. And he's reading, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And if you think that's amazing, there's even more amazing than this. You see, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left and he passed. He passed the tent and they stayed where they are. And he went to a cave, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he remained there for 3 days. You know, look how what even more amazing is. If you think they didn't see him, they had put an offer. Who gets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give him 100 camels. Who gets them both, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, will give them 200 camels. That's the big prize they had. And this is like news going all around the city. And you got young boys, you have people, everyone wants to go for this. There's a lot of money involved. So anyone that catches him, they don't even want to hear what he's got to say, just grab him and take him. Until a group got to the cave where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were. So, you know, the cave, it's open. So the mouth of the cave is open. And anyone that's in a cave, you can see him. I mean, the cave is not that deep. If you've been to Mecca, Ghar Thawr, it's not like a 700 meter walk inside the cave. It's just, you can see the end of it from the beginning. You stand here, you see it. There's nothing hidden. And this during the day, the group got there. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's in the cave, he says, Ya Rasulullah, if just one of them looks down to his feet, he's going to see us. And we're gone. And then the famous Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, La tahzan inna Allah ma'ana. You know, don't make you feel sorry and sad. You know, Allah azza wa jalla is with us. What do you think of two in a cave? The third is Allah azza wa jalla with him. So he affirms Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he puts him at peace and at ease. And subhanAllah, you know, this group that's outside the cave, it's not like they had shortness in their vision or they were a bit deaf. No, these people are normal people. But still, they couldn't see because Allah had placed the covering between their eyesight and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the story of the spider building the web, that's not authentic. That's not authentic story. So this adds more of the amazement that there's nothing there and you can see to the end of the cave and these people that are watching and looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they're sightful, there's nothing wrong with their vision, there's nothing wrong with their ears, they can hear, no problem, but still they don't see him, they don't hear him. Because Allah Azza wa Jal had placed that seal. And this is part of the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal to protect His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. That's part of their plans. And this is the biggest plan. Nothing will come bigger than this. Because after this, it's Allah's promise. But at that time, it's to get rid of him. And yakidun is a plural. Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, they all get together and plan. And what it suggests, it gives us the idea that there are many groups that plan against the Messenger and against Islam in all to get rid of Islam. Many groups. It's important to say many groups. Why, we'll see in the next ayah. And everyone has his idea. And up until today, not all the kuffar have the same one plan to get rid of Islam. Not all of them have the same plan. You have this country and they're divided. There's political groups and every political group has its own agenda, how to get rid of Islam and how to finish Islam once and for all. Not everyone agrees with each other with their plan. They might have some different plan to this other group. But they're all kuffar at the end. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَمِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You see them, you might think they all work together, but in reality, all their hearts are different and none of them work together. You understand? Everyone's separated. So this is very important to understand. You have multiple groups of kuffar, with multiple ideas to get rid of Islam. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal responds. Listen to what he says. He says, as simple as, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. Now, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا also is a present tense, implying continuity. Every time they plan, Allah plans against them. Not one time they win in their plan, except Allah Azza wa Jal had something prepared for them. But listen to this. Allah says, and I plan too. He said about them, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا. But he never said, وَإِنِّي أَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. He didn't say, I certainly also plan. Firstly, because there is no doubt in the planning of Allah Azza wa Jal against them. And secondly, the word إِنَّ, sometimes in Arabic, it implies effort. It implies effort. So when it says, إِنَّهُمْ يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا, it implied that these multiple groups with multiple ideas are putting their utmost effort into their plan. That's what inna implies. They're giving it all they have to get rid of this deen and to get rid of Muslims. But Allah doesn't say inni akidu kaida. Why? Because Allah's plan requires no effort. There's no effort. It is as simple as kun fayakun. And then akidu kaida is singular form. You know, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, He refers to Himself in the plural, sometimes in the singular form, right? For example, He says, وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. For example, we created you in pairs. There's like a sort of a plural, and this is the plural of royalty, right? It would not to understand that there's many ilah, but to understand that there's one and it's the royal plural. But in this ayah, He doesn't say, وَنَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, and we plan and plot. You know why? Because He's responding back to their planning. He says, وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, in the singular form, meaning that as many groups as they are, and as many plans and ideas they have, I'm one, will get rid of all these many groups, and many ideas, and many plannings, and many plottings. To use the singular, and in this ayah, referring to Himself in the singular form, has more power in it. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, by myself. I, Allah Azza wa Jal, alone, أَكِيدُ كَيْدًا, I plot as well. And I continually plot. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, in this ayah, He's speaking to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He's not even speaking to the kuffar. And what this implies is that He's humiliating them. They're not even worth talking to, so He doesn't even speak to them. And just to give you an understanding of this, imagine you're talking to one of your children about another one of your children. You're speaking to him about your other child. How does the other child feel? He feels ignored, neglected, you know, he's angry. You're speaking to your kid about this one. You know, he's thinking, why don't you just speak to me about myself? So in these ayat, what Allah Azza wa Jalla is actually doing, He's speaking to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about them. And it makes them annoyed. Because Rasulullah is reciting these ayat. And they're thinking, why isn't it directed to us if it concerns us? So one, it illustrates that Allah is so angry and upset with the kuffar that He doesn't even speak to them. Or they're not even worth speaking to. So He tells His Messenger, I'm planning against them. وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا. And then Allah Azza wa Jal concludes this surah, فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. فَمَهِّلْ. The fa here, it means then as a result. As a result of their planning and plotting, you know what you should do? مَهِّلْ. This is a command to the Messenger. مَهِّلْ. مَهِّلْهُمْ. مَهِّلْ means an extension. Give them an extension to their deadline. That's mahal, means to give an extension to the deadline. So for example, you owe me $20 tomorrow, you come up to me now and you say, brother, I can't, can you give me an extension? I say, you know, I'll pay me next Saturday. That's mahal, that's to mahal, to give an extension. So Allah is telling His Messenger, give the kuffar, mahil al-kafirin, give them an extension. Go easy on them now, you know? Don't get all upset and angry. Don't make du'a against them. Don't fight them. This is a Meccan surah, and still there's no command of fighting. So give them time, don't rush. And what's amazing, look what's amazing. This is a Makki surah. Yeah, we said that. And the Makki surah, who's in power? The Muslims or Quraysh? Quraysh are in power. So who should be giving who the deadline? Quraysh. They're the ones that have power. They're the ones that have the authority. They're supposed to be telling the believers, hey, listen, you got this much time left. But what happens is Allah shifts all this. He's telling His messenger, who apparently now at that time they're the weakest, but He tells him, give them an extension to their deadline. In other words, what Allah Azza wa Jal is promising in this ayah, a victory. He's promising the believers a victory. It's like, don't worry, you're already there, and you've got the power. It's just the time that I execute my punishment onto these people. So He says, give them time. مَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا. Give them time, relax. Don't fight, don't make dua. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca. Always merciful towards the kuffar. Didn't exercise any toughness or roughness against the kuffar. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down when he's at Ta'if. You know, he says, if you want, I can get the mountains and destroy the mountains on them. He says, leave them, don't worry about them. Doesn't make dua against them. All good, relax, wait. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ. But how much time should the Prophet ﷺ give them? That's the question. For Allah answers that in the last word, رُوَيْدَ. Give them that much time that it's calculated to رُوَيْدَ. And رُوَيْدَ means a short time. Ruwaydan means a short time. But it's a smaller version. For example, you say rawada, rawada, rawdun is a short time. Rawd is a short time. Ruwayd is even shorter than the short time. So give them just a little bit more time and it should be all done. And what is this? Because Allah Azza wa Jal had already planned for the believers and for Rasulullah and the believers, He's planned for them the Hijrah to Medina, and then He's planned for them the Ma'arak al-Badr, which happened in the second year of Hijrah, and then 8 years later or less was Fatah Makkah. So give them a little bit more time, and then you're going to go, and then the plan of Allah is going to be that you're going to meet again in Badr, and that's where you can start killing, and that's when they destroyed almost most of their chiefs. And 40, 50 of the kuffar were killed. One of the most chiefs and the most elite of Quraysh were killed then in Badr. And then Uhud came after that. And then Al-Ahzab and so on. This was the plan of Allah Azza wa Jal in how to restore power and authority back in Mecca up until in the 8th year of Hijrah. Or so they came back to Mecca and they opened Mecca. So this is the time that Allah Azza wa Jal is يعني telling the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to wait, ruwayda, a short time. Now just to connect the beginning of the surah to the end, and we'll conclude inshaAllah ta'ala. The beginning of this surah, it mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal, He informed us that there's guardians over us. Yeah, we remember that. In kullu nafsin lamma alayha hafil. No doubt every single person has a guardian over them. And the end of the surah is spoke about the kuffar planning and plotting against this message and against the Quran and against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Islam in the whole in general. So it's like the message being said here, you're planning and plotting, but Allah is a guardian over everything you plan and plot. Nothing slides under the table. Allah Azza wa Jal sees it all and He's the guardian over it. And the other connection we already established, that it began with the mention of stars and it ended with the mention of the Qur'an. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in 2 weeks' time from now, we will begin with Surah Al-A'la. And as I said, Surah Al-A'la is a very important surah. Let me just give you the connection between the end of At-Tariq and Al-A'la, just to know how things run here. فَمَهِّلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is commanding His Messenger, give them time, give them a short time, and during this time you're having patience and waiting, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. During this time you should relax and make tasbih and pray and concern yourself in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and then later on, the victory will come, and later on the fighting and the wars will happen. So this is sort of the connection. What do I do in this time? And usually, and this is something that is very important that we need to establish in our life as well, and that is at-tasbih. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى. And inshallah ta'ala, when we discuss this one, we'll speak about at-tasbih. And what does tasbih mean? Where does it come from? And اسم ربك الأعلى, not العظيم. So there's a lot of discussion in this surah, inshallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us students of the Quran, people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.